Governor Cuomo has something called his Energy Highway. We are anticipating a large turnout, and we would love for as many people to come as possible.
So large a turnout that you had to change the venue, apparently, for this meeting.
This group was formed around the start of the year, end of last year, called the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition.
That if you're going to do all of that, the first thing that you need to do is demonstrate to us that it's actually necessary, that there really is no need.
This is Community Power, a monthly series of reports on the governor's energy highway, the popular resistance that it inspired, and the cultural resources survey of Livingston.
Start at the bottom and you pick them from the ground, and you pick that tree clean all the way around. Then you set up your ladder and you climb up high, and you're looking through the leaves at the clear blue sky.
I'm speaking today with Livingston Town Historian Joe Gaddy and Livingston Deputy Supervisor Will Yandick. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thank you.
And Will?
Thank you.
So, Joe, how long have you been town historian?
About 20 years.
20 years? And how did you get interested in Livingston's history?
By a wonderful person named Mary Howell, who was then town historian.
She infected you?
Absolutely.
I see. So the town of Livingston started out as the feudal manor of Robert Livingston, who was born in Ancrum, Scotland. I guess that's where Ancrum got its name. So can you tell us a little bit of how Livingston, the town, has evolved since then?
Well, it really evolved in a much calmer way than it did back then.
Yeah? Can you say more?
Wow.
In what sense was it calmer?
Making my brain work a little harder now.
It's okay.
Well, for starters, we don't powder our wigs anymore.
We don't powder the wigs anymore? That's a good start. Well, it became a town, I guess, after the Revolution.
It really started with one of the sons, John Livingston, who built a nice mansion in the town, which started out as just brush and no roads to say. Where the Potts Memorial and
Rojan
Creek. Yes, the Rojan Creek, but I'm looking for the, which escapes my mind right now. But anyway, he had a beautiful mansion at the top of the hill, south of the town now.
How did the Livingstons make a living? What did they come to the region for? Was it timber or farming resources? I mean, what?
Well, he had a house in New York City. And
so he's the original weekender.
He is. And he found a way to make his money working with people of the Dutch language. And he had a personality that was very easy going, and he was a very smart man, and he got involved with a trade which helped him to oversee a lot of business, and he needed business. So what he did was get involved with the area people, the patroons, the governor. He did everything he could to make sure that his pockets were going to be filled at some point in time. Not right away.
So he had his hand in a little bit of everything.
He did. He had it in everything, including marrying somebody who owned property after their husband died. Ended up marrying Alida Schuyler.
Hmm. This is like Real Housewives of Livingston, yeah. 1780 version.
Yeah. So then the most of Southern Columbia County was the Livingston Manor. And then
he owned about 160,000 plus acres.
Wow.
From like the Massachusetts border all the way to Dutchess County on the riverside. And except for a small part of Greenport and all of Hudson, he couldn't touch that.
So how did the manor become the town?
Well, his son John. What really happened was they had a church in Lithgow, which everybody went to. But the church got full, so they needed to find another place to put a church. They needed a bigger church. More people were coming inland from the river. So they built the one in the town of Livingston. And they decided to build some homes to be closer to that church. And that's pretty much how the town started. But John was called Johnstown for John. But when the post office started and they wanted to get a post office in the town, they found out the state said, you can't, because there's already a John, there's already a Livingston post office. Johnstown post office. So they changed it to Livingston.
Gotcha. So was most of the town still owned by the Livingston family at that point?
Yes, they were.
Our part of the world is unique, isn't it, Joe, in terms of maintaining almost a feudal-like system well into the 19th century with these tenant farmers who, if you look at some of their contracts, had some pretty steep rents, and very few were able to dig out of the hole and make a real go on the land that they worked for, the Livingstons. The brothers, if correct me if I'm wrong, had divided our town into strips that went from the river basically to the Massachusetts line, and pretty much had the run of the place as landlords for a very long time until the rent riots of, what was that, the
1817-something. I can't think of it.
I thought it was the early 1800s and so.
That kind of escapes my mind. But
it was rather late. It was certainly post-revolution, where Americans had fought this war for independence. And here in the Hudson Valley, with these remnants of the patroon system, were, you know, landlords basically controlling huge properties. There's no parallel like it in the biggest slumlords in America today. And just a lot of small holdings that had to bring in their deeds, had written so many bushels of rye, so many chickens, so many barrels of apples, went back to the Livingstons. It was a very good deal for them, and they held it together as long as they possibly could.
Well, the other problem was that when the Palatines came here, they were asked to come here because they had no other place to go.
Right.
And England was trying to ship them here for the Navy to get their pine and their tar and pitch for their ships, because they were, you know, a big Navy, and they didn't want to lose, you know, your Navy. So France at the same time was growing a little bit larger. They had more trees. So, of course, Robert Livingston again, he found out a way to make that work for him and for the governor, and he got the Palatines to come work on his property and do that with shares of helping England. But as time got on, that kind of fell through a little bit. Some left, some went in all different directions.
The cemeteries in Livingston are full of the names of Palatine families, and they are still here.
Right.
Vast numbers of their descendants still work and live here.
The Palatines are named for the Palatinate in Germany, right?
Right.
And that was imported labor from a very poor region of Germany at the time, still recovering from the 30 Years' War, I think.
Correct.
Yeah. And there was other people that did come in time to work, but wasn't as great as it was as the Palatines come.
And they were settled in what's now Germantown,
yes.
More or less?
There was actually even smaller bits and pieces of, like, you had Hunters, you had Anne's, you had East Side, which our side, and West Camp. So it's on both sides of the river.
Right. And if you fast forward into the 20th century and 19th century, you can talk about Livingston, which is one of the few towns in the East that has a ghost town, a town that doesn't exist. The Burden Ore Mines, which is the whole reason that my relatives moved here.
And a lot of others.
You know, lots of Eastern Europeans, some poor Scots, poor Irish, came to work in these iron ore mines.
Iron ore.
And Blue Hill and Oak Hill?
County Route 10.
Yeah.
Where Iron Mountain sits today.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and what is it used for today, that property?
It is still an iron mine. They are oring it, but not for what we want. They're just making it big and getting rid of the ore. But mostly what it is now, it's like a bank, if you would say, if you want to call it that way. It's a high security storage
vault.
They got still that large vault door right there in the middle as you first come in. So it's high security. You can't get anywhere near it. But they do, I believe they do have their own small museum inside.
Hmm. Oh, really?
They have old uniforms, pictures, so forth.
Well, speaking of museums, could you tell us a little bit about the Livingston History Barn?
Yes. The Livingston Barn was conceived out of need. Mary Howell, who is... now the county historian, about 1998 was the start of our history barn. And in that time, she had a lot of stuff that people have given it to her. She did a lot of work 20 years prior to that, collecting information. She wrote a book, Livingston Then and Now, which is unfortunately not in production anymore. We could use more books like that. But she worked very, very hard for a long time getting all this information. And they needed a place to put all her stuff, all the articles. She had boxes and boxes of stuff. And so at the same time, the town hall was overgrowing, and it needed a new place. So next door was an old doctor's house, and the town bought it. They took it down to make the new town hall. And behind there was a carriage house. And voila, we said, this is good as any is that we're ever going to find that the town still had bought. That's part of that property.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1998, there was a group of people, and Don Klein, who was our
supervisor.
He was our supervisor, and he was chairing the committee, and Mary Howell, Cal Link, many volunteers, Tom Zaccaroli, Jack and Pat Schroeder, they were all instrumental in getting this place set up.
And Livingston is unique countywide for being a town that has its own town history museum. There aren't very many places that had the volunteers that could set up such a place and towns that continue to support them. And it's open to the public. I think the unique thing that Joe has really done with this place is it's not just a static collection. It's something that he updates and rotates exhibits based on the calendar year. And he hosts genealogy requests for some of the Palatines we talked about, and even the folks that came for the Burden Ore Mines. There are folks all over the world that send requests to Joe at the Livingston History Barn to understand their own family's genealogy.
Right.
They call, email, send letters.
Community Power is produced for Wave Farms, WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Hey ho, makes you feel so funny when you're walking through a town and you got no money. Hey ho, makes you feel so free standing in the top of an apple tree. Hey ho, well you feel so down picking up windfalls crawling on the ground. Hey ho, makes you feel so free standing in the top of an apple tree. Hey-ho, well, you lose your mind if you sing this song about 100 times. Hey-ho, makes you feel so free standing in the top of an apple tree.